Hello, and welcome to On Repeat with Beth and Susanna. This is a frank and honest podcast about the reality of living with OCD. Disclaimer, we are not mental health professionals. Please visit OCD Action for services that can help and support you.
Hello, Lee and Cara from OCD Action. Thank you so much for chatting to us today. So it's OCD Week of Action, obviously, and I would just love for you guys to get the chance to talk a bit more about that. I guess a good place to start would be with the question, why do you think we need an OCD Week of Action?
Can I say thank you to both of you, first of all, for inviting us onto your podcast? I've listened to a few of the episodes and I just feel excited to be here, and thank you so much. Cara, I'm sure you feel the same about the opportunity to be here.
We're lucky to have you, so thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. So why do we think OCD Week of Action is so important? So we've run OCD Week of Action for many, many years. This year, we're particularly focused on fair access to treatment, which we think is really, really, really important. And we think it's important because OCD is treatable. It's highly treatable, actually, if people get the right treatment at the right time when they need it. And by the right treatment, I suppose what we're talking about is CBT with ERP, and if it's the right thing for that person, anti-obsessional medication. And I suppose when we say OCD is highly treatable, we really recognise that OCD can be on a journey. It has its ups and downs, that treatability, and that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean things completely transform, but people can get their lives back with the right treatment. But we carried out a survey a couple of months back now, and just under 50% of the people that we spoke to said that in their most recent round of treatment, they didn't get the recommended treatment. Mm-hmm. And that to us is, it just has to change. It's unacceptable. It's not, it, you know, we don't think it would happen for a physical health condition that people just wouldn't be given the right treatment. I'm sure we'll talk a bit about more about this as we go through, but we are calling for radical change to make sure that that doesn't continue. We think that needs to change, and needs to change as soon as possible, now, in effect, because we just hear about the daily impact that the fact that people aren't getting the treatment that they deserve has on people's lives. I think unless we shout really loudly about what is needed, nothing is going to change, and we need to call on the government, I suppose particularly the Minister for Health and Social Care, Steve mm-hmm. Barclay, to make these changes, and that's what this Week of Action is really about.
Do you have anything to add to that, Cara?
Yeah, I guess I just, I'm also really excited about the fact that we're taking a political stance this year. And I think so much of the work that we do at OCD Action is about supporting people to advocate for themselves and kind of do things that they need to do to get the treatment that they need on a kind of individual level. And now we're looking at it on a kind of larger scale, and trying to actually change things from a different angle, if that makes sense. And that's, I think, a really exciting opportunity for all of our kind of the community to engage with.
Yeah. What would you say are the main barriers that people with OCD face then when accessing treatment? Why is it, do you think, such a high percentage of people that aren't getting the right treatment?
Yeah, so I suppose if we're looking at this sort of in the round, in there's probably two sides to why, to barriers, I suppose, to answer your full question. So there's probably two parts. We think there's obviously one of the barriers is maybe that it can take a little while, and I think this is so understandable, often for people to reach out for treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about a lot of the work that we do at OCD Action, is supporting people to overcome some of those barriers. So these are some of the things that people maybe tell us about, is that OCD is hugely trivialized. And so when people are experiencing their intrusive thoughts and they don't think, oh my word, this is OCD, because the way OCD gets portrayed in the press, yeah, and in the media is about cleaning or keeping things tidy. And so somebody's personal lived experience of that doesn't match up. And so maybe they don't think, okay, this is the right time to reach out for treatment or to go and tell my GP about what I'm experiencing. So maybe that slows the kind of process of reaching out. And then I guess maybe people very understandably are really worried about reaching out because they think they're not going to be believed or what they say is going to be misunderstood. And that often somebody's maybe tried to reach out to their GP and had a bit of an experience of actually not being properly understood. So they've said something and it's been misunderstood, or so then kind of doing that again doesn't work.
To build up the courage to go again, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's what we hear a lot. And I don't know, Cara, whether Cara works on or leads the work of our Young People's Helpline. I don't know whether that's something particularly that you kind of hear there, but I know that's something that we hear a lot about, is kind of that reaching out for support can be particularly difficult.
Yeah, I think it's a massive issue for a lot of people with OCD, but in particular, it can really affect young people. You know, being a teenager can be quite a difficult time anyway, can't it, for everyone? But you know, if you're kind of battling like daily intrusive, difficult, distressing, intrusive thoughts, and you kind of don't know how to verbalize that, how to talk about that with anyone, that's an incredibly isolating experience. Mm. And I think in terms of mental health conditions, OCD is just so far behind a lot of other mental health conditions in terms of the understanding that the public has, not just the public, a lot of health professionals too. Yeah. And it can be really, really difficult to talk about those intrusive thoughts. Because, yeah, as Lee said, particularly when you don't know that it is OCD you're experiencing, and you think that, gosh, what's going on? You know, why am I having all these thoughts? Does it make me a bad person? And then you kind of fear that, well, when people do realise that it is OCD that they're struggling with, that somebody's going to misunderstand that and misinterpret their thoughts as like a predictor of behaviour in some way, which obviously is not the case. So there's a lot of challenges, I think, that people face before even getting like in touch with services or getting the support that they need.
Mm-hmm. What about when once someone has actually maybe, you know, been able to speak to someone who actually does know about OCD and has maybe referred them to the right place, or there's still such a challenge with getting affordable or hopefully free therapy? Do you think that's something that is able to change as well in future?
Yeah, so this is an effect that the kind of nub of what we're really campaigning about now is, or what the Week of Action will focus on. So if we kind of say there's two parts to what are the barriers, there's kind of the first part of reaching out. And then when people do reach out, which is often when they're, so research says that often people will kind of wait 6 to 7 years on average after their symptoms have reached a kind of clinically significant level. So people are all averagely already quite unwell by the time they reach out. And then we know that OCD can be really treatable and that there is good therapy out there. But again, if I can just share some of the data that we kind of know, is what I was saying at the start, that just under 50% of people said they're not getting the recommended treatment. And then again, that 50% of people said that their OCD hadn't been recognised when they first reached out for treatment. And there's also data that's kind of come from a really well-respected study it's got a horrendous title, sorry to whoever made the study, called the Adult Psychiatric Morbidity Survey, but it's very well respected, and they basically undertake some research with kind of a big cohort of people, and from that they kind of identify psychiatric conditions within this. And from the people that they identified as having OCD, 80% of, or 83%, I think, of those people had been misdiagnosed as having depression. So again, the kind of big barriers that there are kind of identification issues. So people not having that OCD recognized, or actually probably going so far as to having it misdiagnosed as something else, the research would say probably as depression, and then people not getting the right treatment, you know, so maybe getting general CBT or something different. So these are the things that we're really concerned about, actually, that we think the government can do something about. I think we're not saying by a long stretch that talking therapies, NHS talking therapies, that was called IAPT until recently, are getting this right. But I think some steps are being made to kind of measure and put quality measures in place there. But I think it's particularly concerning within what's kind of called secondary care. So within that area where there's no kind of standard manual, etc., we're very concerned. So I think the big change that we would really like to see is quality standards being put in place, quality assurance standards being put in place, particularly in secondary care. So we would really like there to be standards around waiting times. If you get referred to secondary care, we would really like there to be standards around assurance for the availability of qualified staff. So to make sure that people are actually getting access to OCD treatment, CBT with ERP, and that they're getting the right treatment. And we would really like, I mean, we think this is quite a simple call to action, a call for change, that that there is some standard around people with OCD being assessed with one of the recommended tools for assessment when they go into care. So actually some of that happens at the moment in IAPT, in talking therapies. And so there is some precedent for that happening. And we think there would be ways for that to happen in secondary care. The government could monitor that by setting targets and then could require NHS teams in secondary care to provide data on that. So for example, how many people do they see within 18 weeks of referral? Which is a target that happens within IAPT. We might spend time looking at it and think it needs to be within 20 weeks or 24 weeks, but we think you could set a waiting time from referral.
Yeah, I think that would make such a huge difference to people as well. I've waited over a year before when trying to get CBT. And then I think inevitably what often happens is people go, if they have it as an option, they look privately for a therapist. But in my experience anyway, finding someone that is properly experienced with OCD specifically, it costs a lot more.
Yeah, I think it's really, really challenging. And it's not only does it cost a lot more, it can be very hard to find, for people to actually find a therapist who is accredited, who has the kind of relevant training, who has experience in treating OCD, all those things. It's really, really challenging.
Do you guys know roughly how many people in the UK have an OCD diagnosis?
So diagnosis can be like a bit of a questionable thing. Not everybody with OCD always has a diagnosis, but it's thought that about 1-2% of the population have OCD. So estimates are that that's about 750,000 people. We're talking about a lot of people here that could be missing out. And I suppose I think that's one of the really important things, actually, is when we talk about these barriers that we're talking about, actually, we're campaigning for these changes that we think the Minister for Health and Social Care can make. But in some ways, they're quite top level changes. Like, you know, that's the beginning of things. If we start thinking about all the individual people and all the individual groups of people that are in that 750,000 people, we know that actually there are people that are probably finding even more difficult to access treatment. So I think right at the beginning of the podcast, Cara was talking a bit about young people and the fact that young people can find it particularly difficult to reach out for treatment. We're really focused on trying to make sure that young people can have the support they need to access treatment. And you know, CAM services are really stretched at the moment, actually. And, you know, then there's a lot of work looking at transitions as well. There's some really stark data that as a charity we're very concerned about and really focused on doing everything we can to change this, around how underserved by OCD services people of colour are as well, actually. And again, you know, there's just more barriers in place to access high quality treatment. And it's something that we're very committed to doing what we can as a charity to really change. Many, many individuals for whom the journey will be more and more challenging. So we're starting with these real calls for action for the government to make change. But we know that there is a long, long journey to go to make sure that everybody gets fair access to treatment, which is what we actually want to see. We think everybody deserves.
Yeah. Which kind of leads me to, I guess, the next question of, and it's such a huge thing to be undertaking, but thank you for all the work you guys do with OCD Action to be doing this. What are OCD Action trying to do to address these issues at the moment?
Yeah, so for anybody listening to this right now, it would be absolutely amazing if you could get involved with the campaign. The more voices added to this campaign, the more chance we have of making a real difference and fighting for fair access to treatment. So there are three quite simple things, I think, that people can do to get involved. The first thing is to sign our petition, where we're calling for some of the changes that Lee has spoken about in this episode. The second thing is to send a letter to your MP And the third thing that people can do is share their story of trying to access treatment. You can really share your story in any way you like, whether that's publicly on social media. We do have a hashtag, which is OCDWOA for Week of Action. So if you are sharing on social media, it would be amazing if you can include that hashtag so everyone else can see. We also will have some posts throughout the week with prompts that people can reply to. And on a smaller scale as well, you know, if you're not ready at the moment to take that step to talk about your OCD online, which a lot of people won't be, and that's absolutely okay, you can do something like talk to a family member about your OCD and talk about the campaign. Anything really that people can do to raise awareness of the issue and
And I guess somebody who maybe isn't affected so much by OCD, if they have the space and energy to be being that voice for maybe somebody that is really struggling and might not have the ability right now to be campaigning for this stuff because of their OCD, anyone that is listening to this that maybe feels they could do that themselves, I think that the more people we have, you know, whether they have OCD or whether they don't, like kind of making these steps, taking these steps, the better, really.
I think in broad terms, you're talking about like allyship or standing with the OCD community. And I think what I would say is like, now is the time. Like, we would love to see people stand with the OCD community and like make as much noise as humanly possible. So maybe we would love to hear people, but you know, and any of the actions, whether you would love to, you know, whether you're more political and you'd like to write to your MP, or whether, you know, you're the sort of person that likes to sign, you know, put your name to something and sign a petition, or whether, you know, you're more of a kind of interacting social person and you're just somebody that really loves to listen to somebody tell their story and really hear, that makes a change too. And any of those actions now, if you're an ally or a friend of somebody with OCD, you can be part of the transformation, this radical change that we're calling for. Those actions matter, and they matter so much. Everybody, no matter what your role is, can, or what your experience of OCD is, whether it's personal lived experience or a family member, can be part of this radical change that we really fundamentally believe we can see, and we will see. Now's the time.
Because it potentially, there might be some people listening who don't necessarily realize the impact OCD, having OCD, can have on a person or the family or loved ones of that person. So hopefully just learning a bit more about the disorder helps people to understand it. You know, it's not just a trivial thing, and it really, really is in the top, I think it's the top 10 most debilitating illnesses, including physical illness.
Yeah, the World Health Organization published that, I think, as a fact, a stat, didn't they, like 10 years ago or so. And that's a really powerful thing, isn't it? And I suppose that's the importance of sharing, isn't it, our experience, our story, is that often people don't realise the impact. And in a way, as we've kind of had this chat today, we've talked a lot about government and change and policy, which is really important if we want to see change, but it's really dry stuff, isn't it, in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't talk about, it doesn't get into the
human experience
that human experience, which is the stuff that really matters, the stuff that's really gonna that actually affects us every day, that is why we all, why all three of us are really here and why we want to. And that's the stuff that is why we want this transformational change, isn't it? Because each of us knows that it deeply, deeply matters for us, for ourselves, for our families, for the people we love. And that's why the transformation needs to happen. Because it's not okay. What is happening now is just not okay.
Yeah, that's so well said. In terms of writing to your MP, how does a person go about that? Do they find an email? Is it an email address that people can find? And is there a certain template that they should stick to when writing to them?
So in effect, if you're writing to your MP, you can write whatever you want, and but we have put together a trusty template, which you will be able to download.
So yeah, you can find the template on our website.
Great. So people can literally just copy and paste that, which is, you know, they can add to it if they want, but that's, it's pretty, it's going to take what, 2-3 minutes?
Yeah, 2-3 minutes. So we ask people to add things in, like their name, and I think we might ask them to add their, and obviously they need to work out their constituency, but there's a little tool that they can do for that. And then if they want, they can add a little bit about why it really matters to them. So again, what we've been talking about, like their personal experience, because that's what really matters. And then in the template, it talks about these calls for change that we really want to see, and it also asks the MP to write a written question to Steve Barclay, because then that's another thing that we think will really be a big thing that might make something happen. If a lot of MPs write to the Minister for Health and Social Care, we think something might really start to change. So we've written some questions in that letter that MPs can write to the Minister for Health and Social Care. We can only do anything if we're doing it together with people from the OCD community, people with lived experience of OCD. And so in effect, we know we can only make any change because we have good people around us and with us and in this team, like making this change together. So that's not to put the pressure back out on anybody that doesn't feel now is the time to be part of this. But we know that really everything only works because we're doing it together. OCD Action isn't just a campaigning organisation. A large part of what we do is provide information and support. So we provide a helpline for anybody that is having challenges with accessing treatment, or anybody that feels they need more information about OCD, either as a family member or somebody directly with lived experience. And we also provide, I think, over 50, maybe around 50 online support groups. So if you're feeling isolated or like you need a bit more support just to connect with other members of the OCD community, we would really encourage people to reach out. We also have, and Cara is probably much better to talk about this, but support for people aged 14 to 25. Cara, is there anything specific you want to say about our youth services?
Yeah, so we have also have a youth helpline, which is for people aged between 14 and 25. And you can find the details of that on our website as well.
And I think the big thing that we would just really want everybody, whether they're, you know, a young adult or a family member or someone directly affected, is just to know that OCD Action is here to stand alongside them as they go on their journey, wherever they're at in their journey. We want to stand with you and be part of that journey with you. So please do be in touch with us if you need anything.
Well, there we have it. Thank you so much to Cara and to Lee and to the whole of OCD Action for the incredible work they do. To sign the petition and to really make a difference, please visit ocdaction.org.uk, where you'll also find the template to write to your MP, plus loads of other amazing resources and information. We've also linked these in the show notes. It's great to be back. We do have more episodes on the way, and we'd love to have you subscribe, rate, leave a review, follow us on Instagram. We're at On Repeat Podcast. Message us. We would love to hear from you.